Welcome to Wonder in Reality with Jim Harwell. Matthew 13:18. Jesus Christ, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Glory to God. This is Jim. Thanks for listening. This is part 2 of the parable of the sower. It's the first parable that Jesus gives. In fact, as I mentioned in part 1, it's the foundational parable. That's in Mark. Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" I call it foundational, but Jesus said right there, how will you understand all the parables? So in this parable, when we understand it, then it essentially we can understand all the other parables. There are 42 parables in all, approximately. So this is really just monumental, this parable. Jesus gives the parable. It's short. Matthew 13:3-8, of course, is a great version of it. And then he explains it. But between the explanation here in Matthew is his incredible opening, where he tells his disciples, his people following him, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So he's saying, because it has been given to you, it's been given to you. Again, God is a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So these are mysteries, but Jesus is saying we can understand them. Incredible. I want to take a break from that. I want to go back to the one and only thing. The only thing that matters. The Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He's the only thing that matters. And a human being knowing him, that's the only thing. We can work for a million years and give millions of messages about the Bible and everything in it and everything, and completely miss it if we don't know and walk with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. All of these parables, the whole Bible, everything that we do should go back to that one thing. And that's the kingdom. That's Jesus' main message. That's his message. The first thing he said, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It's the whole message. So we can dissect and we can study and analyze every parable, the whole Bible, and completely miss it. And really, it's only the Holy Spirit who can reveal these things to us. So I encourage you, anyone listening, if you know Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. I welcome you to listen to these messages, and I hope that you do. But you have the Holy Spirit. He can reveal all these things to you and so much more. And you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day, every moment. And our existence becomes this, what it's supposed to be, this glorious, divine, eternal walk with the Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And everything changes. We're now a new person. Before we were depressed and it was hard and it's awful and we're lonely and it's hard living on the earth. It's hard for everyone. But when we find Him, everything changes. It's the purpose of human existence. It's what we were born to do. Walk with Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, that's how we walk with Him. That's how we do everything. That's the answer. And everything should come back to that. Even this parable. No matter what we're doing, if we're out feeding the homeless in a meal, that's fantastic. That's glorious. But it comes back to, we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then my point is, everything that we do should come back to that. And when we find Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, then we want to do all the things He asks us to do. He causes us to walk with Him. We want to serve Him. It's just natural. We want to learn about the parables. We want to spend all of our time with Him. Amen. We find Him, everything flows from that. Just some points about the parable of the sower. Again, we could give a million messages just about this parable. A million messages about the kingdom of God. We will never understand and explain it all. And be able, never. For eternity, we will be in awe of our great and awesome God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ, God came to the earth as a man and justified Himself to the whole world and died for the world and revealed these incredible truths and revelations and the mysteries of the presence of Jesus Christ. Some practical points. Number one, we see in the parable of the sower, seeds are sown, and there's four different categories of results. And so in one level, these are just some ideas. I just want to present these. But in one level, this is the gospel is available to all human beings who have ever lived on the earth, 108 billion people. And Jesus is revealing in this parable that generally all those people fall into four different categories of results after the gospel is sown. That first category, nothing happens. The seeds are the wicked one, Satan, comes and just takes the seeds away, and the people don't understand the gospel. And so there's four different categories of results. So it's generally, there's a general truth here about the gospel being sown to all people, right? But also, this truth is revealed here that we as individuals, every single individual who has ever lived, falls into one of those categories, and we are God's garden. We are the soil that the gospel is sown in, and so this parable is revealing to us we need to become that good soil so that the gospel, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in us can bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Isn't that fascinating? We need to be God's, we are God's garden and soil. And that's a metaphor, of course. It's a metaphor. And again, this is the foundational parable. This is how we understand all the parables. And I want to add, I've heard a lot of messages as a Christian, but I have only heard, I think, one message about the fact that we are God's garden and soil, and that we should become that good soil. Only one message. I mean, how could we not, as the body of Christ, be talking about this more and teaching about it more? And it's the foundational parable. The first three of the first four parables Jesus gives involve seeds. So how do seeds grow? They have to be in soil, and that soil has to have moisture, and it has to be taken care of, right? Today, you fertilizer and things like that. There has to be sun and air and water, and it has to be the right time of year, and it has to be, there's a lot that goes into that. I'm not a farmer, but this is so important, and so we don't even understand the importance. And so I want to mention it. I want to at least mention that this is another metaphor. You know, it's awesome to think about the metaphors that Jesus gives about us. Let me just list some of them. So that first one, we're God's soil. Second, we are trees. These are metaphors again. He refers to us as trees. Jesus said a good tree bears good fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit. We are branches. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So now we've got three that I've just mentioned. He also says every plant that's not planted will be uprooted. We're plants. We're his sheep. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Wow, now we're up to like, I've even lost count of how many metaphors Jesus has presented. And there's more. So this is another one. This is so important, and we don't hear it a lot. Next big point I want to make, the mystery. Mysteries, so many mysteries, but one is, it is such a mystery that God would allow us to be such a part of His plan, of His work. His plan, the divine things He's doing, such a mystery that He would allow us to have a part in it. This parable reveals that in a deep, deep way, that this 20-minute message, a 20-hour, a 20-year-long message, we would not be able to even touch the surface of it. So how can we have to have the Holy Spirit reveal these things to us? When we find Him, everything makes sense. Everything clicks. We now know the glorious divine mystery of a relationship with Him, where He's everything, we're nothing, But yet when we find him and we now are saved gloriously, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, now we become partakers of the divine nature. We are now part, essentially, we're his child, right? And all those other metaphors, we're his child. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're kings and lords and children of the Most High. We are now members of his family, partakers of the divine nature, the God kind of life, the supernatural abundant life, where we now are essentially partnering with him. We can bear fruit, right? That's what this parable reveals. He's bearing the fruit in and through us. He does the work. The disciples asked him, how can we work the works of God? These incredible things Jesus was doing. Raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, healing the sick, casting out demons, doing all these things. They said, how can we work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Just rely on him. Reliance. But it's a mystery. We now are essentially partnering with him. It's up to us. You know, as the soil, it's up to us what category we're in of these four. The first three produce no fruit in different levels. There are three different levels. The first level, nothing at all. The wicked one came and took the seed away right away. They didn't understand it. Second one, they heard and they understood and they sprung up quickly, but they didn't have any root. Sun scorched it. They were. We just heard the explanation. Has no root, endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles. Third category, among the thorns, he who hears the word and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of life, choke the word, he becomes unfruitful. And then the fourth category is the good one. Amen. The fourth one. Good ground hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, and produces. So, only the Holy Spirit can allow us to understand it. And what do we understand? The glorious mystery that's unspeakable and full of glory and eternal and divine, that we partner with him, that it's up to us what category we're in. It says it right here. This is the parable, how we understand all the parables. We have to, you know, work out our salvation. We have to seek first the kingdom of God, the presence of God. We have to do our part. You know, quickly, I want to say there's a whole lot of followers of Jesus Christ, call them Christians, Catholics, who don't, they claim, they call it the sovereignty of God. They say God does everything, we do nothing, and we have no part in it. In fact, he knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. And there's nothing that can change that. Well, essentially, I just go back to the one thing. We just need the Holy Spirit. When we find him, then we realize that we, as his children, we play a part in all of it. In our own personal spiritual walk with him, it's up to us completely. He can't make us do anything. It's totally up to us. How deep we go, what phase we go to. As I've talked about the four phases, if you want to just technically look at it and say, yep, there's four phases, and it's up to us which phase we get to and remain in. Somebody cannot even get into the first phase. That means they're not saved, and if they die, they go to hell. I'm sorry to say it so harshly, but essentially that's the way it is. but someone can choose to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they enter into the first phase, born again. And they can stay in that first phase. It's up. They can choose. They can stay right there and not go any further, not go deeper or higher or further. Or someone can go into the second phase. Or the third phase. Amen. The third phase. If you haven't listened to my other messages, that's all in John 3, John 4, and John 7. It's all right there. But my point is, it's up to us in our own personal life, but also in ministry. As we are in ministry, this parable reveals, again, all the people in the history of the world fall into four categories of results of the gospel, you know, the seeds that God sows, which, you know, that's a glorious divine thing. But part of it, of course, is the spreading of the gospel around the world and throughout history. And then today, you know, it's incredible to think about 2.4 billion people on the earth that are Catholics and Christians, and the gospel is being spread in a, I mean, it's just incredible to think about. That's God working through us frail, fragile, fallen, broken, dysfunctional people, yet He works through us to spread the gospel. We are the ones spreading the gospel, whether it's, you know, the Catholic Church doing all these good works that they're doing and incredible things, the Protestant Church and all that. Think, it's just, it boggles the mind to think about all that's going on in spreading the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and how God is working through us. Though it may not, yes, as I said, we're sinners saved by grace. We're fallen, and we have our frailties and weaknesses and shortcomings, and we are. But yet, He still is working through us and is patient with us and wants us to come to this glorious revelation of Him through the Holy Spirit. And then when that's the anointing. And that's how people truly get saved. Through the anointing. Amen. The anointing, the power and presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening. I'll continue next time.